Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Tembelani Mazibuko, researcher at the African Election Association for Sustainable Democracy, joins us this morning. What can we expect from the state of the nation? Now, we've asked you your questions. You want electricity. You want employment. Those are some of the things you want: a confident end to corruption, and you want an end to the state of disaster. That's what you guys have told me that you are looking for. But what can we expect? Tembelani Mazibuko, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks. Good to be on Hi FM.
It's good to have you. So we know what we know what the customers want, but what are we going to be getting? That's the million-dollar question.
It is a million-dollar question, and that is what we are going to be finding out tonight at 7 o'clock.
Right.
Look, I mean, our society right now, and not just in South Africa, but all over the world, has been reshaped as a result of the COVID-19 era. So while we can say that the epidemic part of the era of COVID is coming to an end, it is now becoming more endemic.
Mm-hmm.
However, the financial repercussions to households still remain. And in the United States, you have, for example, policies like Build Back Better. You've had all sorts of policies that are meant to alleviate the pain caused by the COVID epidemic. So what we can reasonably expect from the president tonight is perhaps measures that will alleviate the financial burden that has been caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. We know that many people in the tourism sector, whether it's restaurants, tour guides, hospitality in general, as well as the entertainment sector, have been hurt hard by this, by the restrictions which have been caused by the COVID pandemic. So I expect the president really to speak about how to alleviate the issues that have been caused by this pandemic. And then, of course, there are your issues which were there before the COVID-19 pandemic, issues of inequality, lack of basic services in many areas, especially in rural areas. Obviously, something like corruption, which I'm hearing your viewers feel very strongly about it, and many people as well across the country. So those are the kinds of issues that you can expect from the presidency tonight.
What's interesting as well to me is that in years gone by, certainly in the last couple of years, it was very difficult for government to pat themselves on the back, although they tried. I do believe that when it comes to many aspects of the pandemic, for example, the vaccine rollout, access to vaccines for people, I think that in terms of our scientific community, identification and monitoring of the virus, I think that we have largely done very, very well. Yes, we've had some ridiculous decisions along the way about open shoes and Woolworths cooked chickens, and certainly closed beaches. But on the most part, we have done well. What would be important, I think, is, as you say now, for government to say, right, that's what was. Now, as we move from pandemic to endemic, let's start to look at the way forward. They do have some credibility in that area versus, I would say, many, many other areas where there's very little credibility. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. I would agree, especially with what you were saying earlier on, in the sense of one of South Africa's, I think it's very underappreciated within the South African community, is just how strong our higher education system is.
Mm.
And when I refer to that, I refer to the universities, I refer to the research institutions and health. And to its credit, and I think you allude to this, government has invested a lot in higher education, in research, especially when you consider the types of challenges that government has to grapple with, the inequality, and all the other social challenges, because government's purse strings are stretched because of the lack of inequality, because there are so many things to spend on. Government, to its credit, has invested a lot in education, in medical research. And as a result, and it's also because of we have a high disease burden, right? HIV/AIDS. That's a big reason why we're able to find new variants, because we've got the infrastructure there already. So South Africa's higher education system, South Africa's research infrastructure, is something that we should all be very proud of, and it's something that I feel governments should take credit for investing, for itself has to look at this pandemic through a different lens. A few days ago, WHO itself, the World Health Organization itself, officially classified the epidemic stage, the pandemic stage, over. And now we are looking at it as a pandemic, endemic. Interestingly, four states, Democratic states in the United States, just yesterday, removed the mask mandate. And I think that as time goes on across the world, we are now going to see this lens, and this will be reflected through government policies, through decisions that will now see this. How do we live with this virus in the same way we live with the flu, as well as with any other, many other respiratory illnesses? So I think going forward, that's what we can expect from government. That's what we can expect from government policy.
And that's what we can hope from there.
And the era of government shutdowns are over, in my opinion.
What about things like the infighting within the ANC, the July riots, Eskom, lack of infrastructure in some areas, not being able to support business with regard to energy supply? That's, I would imagine, is absolutely critical that they address, the problem being that they've addressed it over and over before and not much has happened. How do they manage, how do they do this with some form of credibility now?
Yeah, so I think those are the kinds of questions which have been, are independent of COVID, which have been around for a very long time. Look, I think it's important to realize that South Africa, the South Africa that we have today, is a South Africa that, in many ways, shaped by inequality. The inequality was shaped by apartheid, and in many ways, government's big sin, in my view, is that it has not been able to close the wealth gap enough, or the institutions of South Africa were built with the minority in mind. However, now we go from servicing a small percent, servicing 100% of the population. These issues of Eskom load shedding are the result, the bottleneck of not being able to restructure society enough to ensure that government works for all its citizens and not just a few citizens. Albeit the few now are more colorful, however, the big elephant in the room is inequality. And as long as we don't have a kind of middle class to ensure that South Africans are able to live life with dignity. And that's where I think government policy should be. How do we ensure that more people are able to move into the middle class? And when people move into the middle class, there's a higher tax base. And when there's a higher tax base, these issues can be solved, more issues like issues of non-payment, which affect Eskom. These people aren't paying because the cost of living is just so high. You know, we speak about the ANC, you know, infighting is endemic in political parties in general. They're endemic within the ANC, they're endemic within the Democratic Alliance, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. However, because the ANC is a governing party, there's a spotlight on it. Because what happens within the ANC affects the country as a whole. And so those are the kinds of issues that the ANC will have to deal with. How do we move the country forward while at the same time minimizing infighting within the party? Because the infighting affects South Africa as a whole. It affects our ability to deal with state-owned enterprises. It affects our ability to deal with a whole lot of other issues. So that is the forever challenge, really, of the ANC, because the ANC, in many ways, has a different wing within, like, within its entire lifetime. The PAC from the thing. You can speak about COPE. You can speak about the UDN. You can speak about the IFP. So many political organizations. So those kinds of issues, the ANC will have to really work hard in order to call them, because they affect the country as a whole.
Are we expecting any antics from any of the other political parties, i.e. the EFF, who have traditionally tried to disrupt and disrupted SONA for years?
It's hard to say. Personally, no, I do not think so. I think those, in many ways, were as a result of the Zuma era, because at the time Zuma was quite, you could get a lot of political mileage from doing those kinds of political antics. I don't think that if it were to happen today with this current president, they would be covered in the same glowing light as when it was under the Zuma era. So I don't expect anything from either the DA or the EFF. You might expect one or two few things, maybe, but I don't expect the speech to be disrupted.
Well, I would imagine that they need to read the room, and the room wants to hear what has to be said. It's not a joke. It's not something that we will be watching for entertainment purposes and to hear Jacob Zuma laugh. We want to hear this because there are some deadly serious issues that need to be addressed. And if the EFF does disrupt it, I imagine that it won't do them well politically in terms of popularism, because I think these things need to be heard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think the EFF itself is also facing some headwinds. They were very disappointed. They should have been very disappointed with their local government election results.
Mm.
So they definitely need to read the room. And to me, the big elephant in the room is a political party. Ironically, won't be in the room because they're not in the National Assembly, but they will definitely be in the National Assembly in 2024, and that is Actionist Day. So I think the EFF will have to recalibrate how their strategy. And we've actually already seen signs of that. I was speaking to a friend of High FM, Wayne Sussman, and I was making the point to him that the EFF stunt in going to Midrand, the Mall of Africa, and checking how many South Africans are employed is exactly that recalibration. That's reading the room that says, look, a lot of people are in fact unhappy with the amount of foreign migrants in the country. That's become a political issue now, and the EFF is now pivoting. Because they're no longer talking about one Africa, open borders, that type of rhetoric. They are pivoting, and Malema is very good at pivoting. Similarly, having read the room, as you say, I don't think that the EFF will pull any antics, especially when you also consider the backdrop. In many ways, it will be a somber moment. Parliament has been burnt down. We are moving to the Cape Town city, the city hall. So I think having read the room, I don't think it will be politically popular, or it's not going to go down well politically for the EFF to pull, or any political party to pull these types of stunts for political gain.
Very, very interesting. Well, this evening will tell. We'll be able to see exactly what was addressed, what was considered to be that important, and how it was received. Thank you, Tempelani Mazibuko, researcher at the African Election Associate for Sustainable Democracy.